Hey, I'm Jane Lindholm. I'm the host of Vermont Edition, and I'm just popping in to tell you that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition, and I'm Bob Kinzel. This is the first election where all active registered voters have been sent a ballot for the November election. The new process seems to be very popular. It's estimated that more than 170,000 people have already mailed their ballots back to their local town clerk or dropped them off at the clerk's office. A number of voters still have some key questions about voting this year, and today on Vermont Edition, we've got two people who know a lot about this subject and are ready to provide you with some answers. With us today, Deputy Secretary of State Chris Winters, and also Jonna Ferguson of the Vermont League of Women Voters. I'd like to welcome both of you to the program today.
Hi, Bob. Thanks.
Hi, Bob. Thanks.
Chris, before we discuss some of the specific details of this new voting process, from the perspective of the Secretary of State's office, how are things going? Any serious issues you've had to deal with so far?
Hi, thanks, Bob. Well, you know, first of all, I want to thank all Vermonters who are really making an effort and having Vermont lead the country in safe voting. They're embracing this early voting and voting by mail. Like you said, more than 170,000 Vermonters have already voted. That's well over half of the total turnout from the 2016 general election. So all that early voting is going to help keep the numbers down on Election Day, which really was our goal as we moved to this vote by mail system in light of the global pandemic. We are seeing a few problems out there with the voter checklist, but I think that's to be expected when you have a mailing of this size going to this many people. There will be a few errors here and there, but people are being really great about calling up their town clerks, and those hardworking town clerks are straightening out those issues on their end. So I would say overall, we're seeing a very successful early voting period here in the state of Vermont.
Chris, when you say there's some issues or problems with the checklist, is that the ballots have been sent out to people who may not be at those addresses anymore, and so the ballots are being returned to the town clerks?
That's part of it, Bob. Yeah, and I don't want to overstate the problem. I think any voter checklist is not going to be 100% perfect. There's always going to be deceased people on there who haven't been taken off yet, but I will note that we get the death certificates every month from the Department of Health and have a process for removing those people. There are people who have moved and not updated their address with their town clerk. There is a very careful process for removing challenged voters, so there will be some challenged voters on the checklist as well. But Vermont really has one of the most updated and accurate voter checklists in the nation, due in large part to our election management system, the automatic voter registration that we have at DMV. So if you're asking for, have there been any problems, I think that's the biggest challenge for us, is to make sure that every registered voter gets a ballot. And I just remind people that if they haven't received a ballot yet, now is the time to get in touch with your town clerk.
Jonna, tell us about the League of Women Voters' involvement in this voter education project. Why is this such a top priority for you?
Well, at the League of Women Voters, of course, our mission is to help every voter to feel empowered and confident when they vote. And the global pandemic really makes this feel different this election. We haven't received ballots mailed to us before. Some of us have not ever used a mail-in ballot. I voted early once 3 years ago, and it's a little different than voting at the polls. And it's very important to pay attention to the instructions. You want to be sure that you're – well, before I get into that. But no, let's talk about that. You want to be sure that you follow the instructions on your ballot. You want to fill out those your choices in a black pen or pencil. You want to be sure you put it in that envelope that you will sign and date, and you want to put that inside the envelope to mail it back so that your town clerk can receive it.
Jana, some people are wondering, when we've gotten emails and questions about this, what happens if somebody fills out their ballot, puts it in what we'll refer to as the ballot envelope, and they don't sign it or date it, and they just put that in the larger prepaid mailer and send it back to their town clerk? Do you know what happens to that ballot?
Well, I know that the town clerk cannot count it without that signature. But how the town clerk handles that, I guess I would ask Chris.
Yeah, that's right, Jana. Once it goes in the mail, you've lost control of that ballot. So it's really important to focus on getting your signature on that ballot. That's one of the things that I think will lead to defective ballots. One of the only things that can really go wrong is not filling out that envelope and not signing that ballot, and also putting it in the envelope. So what Jana said is really important. Fill out your ballot. Get it inside the voted ballot envelope or the certificate envelope. Fill out the outside and be sure to sign it. There's a statement on there that says, I've not voted already. No one has influenced my vote. So you have to sign that piece of the certificate envelope for your vote to count.
Today in the program, we're looking at Vermont's new voting system. This is the first time this November election that all active registered voters in Vermont have been sent a ballot. And we're talking now with two folks who know a lot about this election process, and a lot of questions being raised by people. And we can tell already from our callers that we've got a lot of questions that people would love to have answered before they go to vote. So let's start with Eric in Jericho. Hi, Eric. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I voted by mail, as did my wife. But if I hadn't voted by mail and I went in by person and I forgot my mail-in ballot, I can't vote, which I can understand that. So there should be much more publicity about you've got to bring your ballot if you're going to vote in person. That's my concern. Thank you.
Okay, Eric, at the risk of offering some advice, I am going to say, and I'm going to ask Chris Winters to verify this. Chris, let's say a person goes in to vote under those circumstances. Isn't there an affidavit that they can fill out that swears that they didn't already vote with the mailed ballot, and so that will allow them to vote in person? Do I have that somewhat correct?
You've got it right, Bob, and it's really important to emphasize this. You do not have to bring your ballot with you. We recommend that you do. There may be an additional step for you if you don't, but no voter is going to be turned away at the polls if they don't have their ballot with them.
Let's talk to Jeannie, who is calling from Burlington. Hi, Jeannie. Welcome to the program.
Hi. My question has to do with returning my mail-in ballot to my polling place. When I did this in the primaries, I just walked it down, and I didn't know, should I seal it ahead of time? Should I leave it unsealed in order to speed up the process? Or if I'm feeling comfortable at my polling place, would it be better if I just went through and fed it through the machine myself?
Good question. Chris, what would your recommendation be?
Sure thing. Well, there's all sorts of options for you, and you described a few of them there. Either you put it in the mail, and we recommend you do that no later than Saturday, October 24th. You bring it down to your town clerk during business hours, and you can hand it over that way. We would say seal that ballot up, seal the certificate envelope, seal the outer envelope, and drop it off at your town clerk's office. Many towns, I think over 200 of them, have a ballot box option. So even if you're there when the town clerk's office is not open, you can pop it into the ballot box. Or you can bring it during business hours and go ahead in there and hand it to your clerk. If it's your preference, you can still take that mailed ballot to the polls with you on election day and take it out of the envelope and vote it as you normally would. Even if you've got it already filled out, they'll check you off the checklist. You can go ahead in and feed it through the tabulator as you normally would.
We did get a email from Raymond in Jeffersonville. In light of the state encouraging people to vote early, I wondered what would happen if the presidential candidate you voted for died before Election Day. I tried to get an answer from the Secretary of State's office, but they were less than informative. Chris, I can actually answer part of that question. One of our Ask Bob segments on VPR dealt with this very issue. Now, in the event that Donald Trump, and Chris, back me up on this one or tell me that I'm wrong. In the event that Donald Trump died, then automatically Mike Pence would become president. And the fact is, when you go to vote on Election Day and fill out your ballot, you're not voting technically for individual candidates. You're voting for a group of electors who will be casting votes in the Electoral College. So in the case of the incumbent president dying, then you have Mike Pence, the vice president, becoming president, and the election can go on. In the event of the of Joe Biden dying, it from what I've read, it really depends on how close to the election that happens. If it's 3 or 4 weeks, then the National Democratic Party can request a new convention and to select a new candidate. If we're a week away, then what would happen is that, again, you're not voting for a particular candidate. You're voting for electors, and the Biden-Harris team would be elected, and Senator Harris would become president. Chris, what do you think of that?
Bob, I think you made a great attempt there. You did as well as I could have, for sure. I think, you know, I'm sorry that the caller felt that we were less than informative, but I think that the answer is a tough one. It's not exactly clear in the Constitution, and there are a lot of factors, depending on how close you are to the election, what the party itself decides to do in putting up a different nominee. The fact is, when that ballot leaves your hand and ends up at the town clerk's office, you can't take it back. So there are instances in history where a candidate has died after the votes have already been cast. So it's a tricky question, and let's just hope that we never have to deal with it.
It gets even crazier, Chris. If the candidate dies after the election, but before the Electoral College meets, or after the Electoral College meets, and before Congress certifies the vote of the Electoral College, in that case, I think we're headed to the Supreme Court. But that's another story altogether, and hopefully it will never come to pass. So let's talk to Jean in Burlington. Hi, Jean. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I belong to the League of Women Voters also, and we're concerned that everybody's vote counts. And we've been hearing that a lot of people have been mailing in their ballots without signing them. And is there any way for the them to be contacted so that their ballot can be signed and counted?
Jean, that's a great question. Jono, what do you think a voter should do in those circumstances?
Well, as Chris said, once your ballot's mailed, it's sort of out of your hands. You could contact your town clerk. I know that I have voted, and my certificate did have my name on it, but I don't know what the town clerk would be able to do.
I think that's a good answer, Jonna, and that just reminds us again, sign your ballot. That's one of the very few things that can go wrong with a mail-in ballot. We're hearing anecdotally that most voters are doing this. That's why we're doing a lot of PSAs and education to try to get the word out there about how to send back your mail-in ballot. And luckily, we're not hearing about a lot of defective ballots in that way.
Chris, didn't your office have a great little saying, like sign, seal, or
sign, seal, and send? Yeah, that's right.
Thank you. Those three S's,
sign, seal, and send. You know, the legislature has considered a curative provision multiple times, which would allow a town clerk, when they see a defect in a ballot, to contact the voter and allow the voter to come back in and fix that. A few other states have that. But as of this time, Vermont does not. If the legislature were to pursue a mail-in voting on a more permanent basis, not just for this temporary basis that we have for 2020, I think that's one of the discussions that we'll want to have, is whether there should be a curative provision.
And Chris, some people have asked when you sign your ballot and certify that this is your vote, is there some way that signature verification is happening? Now, we've learned in some states that there is. They actually match your signature that they have on record with the ballot that is being made for the November election. But if I remember correctly, Vermont doesn't verify signatures. Is that right?
That's right, Bob. We do not do signature matching in the state of Vermont, and that's a close number two to the curative provision. If this gets taken up by the legislature, is looking at signature matching. Other states do it. It's quite an involved process to set up, which we did not have time to do for this election. And there are some problems with it, too. It's not a cure-all because people's signatures change over time. You would have to have the curative provision along with the signature verification so that if a town clerk or an election worker is looking at that signature and says, that doesn't match, that they call you up and give you an opportunity to prove that it really was you because it may be your signature from when you first registered to vote. And people's signature do change over time, particularly for older people whose handwriting may change as they age.
I know for sure. In my case, my signature 20 years ago really does not look too much like the one that it is today. So that's good to know. Let's talk to Brian in West Wheelock. Hi, Brian. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for being a dedicated Deadhead. I always appreciate you mentioning Jerry Garcia and the music of the Grateful Dead that we love so much. My question is in regards to my address, which for the sake of 911, they've changed the number of my house. And there's been much issue with, well, just packages, et cetera. I'm concerned that when my ballot is counted or possibly not counted, that it's going to be affected by the fact that there's a discrepancy with the number on our house, on our, like, say, purchase agreement, and the fact that we own a house at such and such a number, and they've changed the number of our house. We have received our ballots in the mail. Haven't sent it back yet, though.
All right. Chris, what do you think?
Well, I'd say there are a couple of options for you, Brian. One is to hand-deliver that ballot back and talk to your town clerk about it. If you do put it in the mail, you can follow up with your town clerk to make sure that it was received and that the address issue doesn't cause you any sort of an issue. I wouldn't think that it would. The voter checklists are maintained by the towns themselves, so the town clerk with the Board of Civil Authority is responsible for the checklist maintenance, and then that gets set up to through our election management system to create the statewide checklist, which is what we based this mailing on. And then the other thing that you can do is once you've put your ballot in the mail, and anyone can do this, is go to mvp.vermont.gov to look at your My Voter page and see that your ballot has been received. But if this is something that's really worrying you, I'd recommend talking to your town clerk first or delivering it in person when they're open. To check in and make sure that everything is set with your name on the voter checklist.
Brian, thanks very much for your phone call. Let's turn to Lee, who is calling from Rutland Town. Hi, Lee. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. Say, listen, I'm hearing you say sign your ballot. But there's no place to sign your ballot. You do not sign your ballot. You sign the affidavit envelope and seal your ballot in that envelope. The only time you write on your ballot is if you write in a name to vote for somebody, and then you fill out the little circle next to your write-in candidate. But you do not sign your ballot.
Lee, you bring up a very important point. Chris, we've been talking about signing, and as Lee said, what you are really signing is what we might refer to as the ballot envelope. That's the envelope that you're putting your actual ballot into. So that's an important point.
Yeah, Lee is absolutely right. And if I said sign your ballot, that was my mistake. You want to sign that certificate envelope. The ballot has no signature on it, no barcodes on it, nothing that will identify the voter, so the ballot itself is completely anonymous. It's It's the envelope itself that has that certificate on it, that has you swear under the pains and penalties of perjury that you are who you say you are, and you haven't voted under anyone else's influence, and you haven't voted already in another town or in the same town. Sign that certificate envelope and put your ballot inside it.
And we'll just emphasize that again. You're going to get your ballot. You'll fill out your ballot. You will take your ballot and put it in your ballot envelope. And as Lee in Rutland Town just reminded us, very importantly, that envelope is what you are going to be signing and dating. So let's talk to Stephen in Milton. Hi, Stephen. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Great.
I was just wondering what happens if one were to inadvertently vote twice, either because, you know, we all get busy, perhaps we forget that we sent our ballot in and we show up and vote in person. What would be the response time and what would be the repercussions of that as far as how long would it take to possibly find out that two ballots had been submitted under the same name and so on and so forth?
Jana, what do you think what happened in that situation?
Well, first of all, with the ballots been received by the town clerk, I think the checklist will indicate that when you go to check in to go vote. So it's very likely they'd be able to tell you you'd already voted. But you really don't want to vote twice. If you bring that ballot with you, you'll know whether or not you've used it because you'll have it.
And Chris, if someone did mail their ballot in, as Stephen was suggesting, when they went to vote on Election Day, wouldn't their name already be checked off and the town clerk would say, I'm sorry, you've already voted?
That's absolutely right. We're chuckling a little bit here, but this is a serious matter. And election integrity is something we take very seriously. The control point for this, no matter how many ballots you get, is the return of the ballot to the clerk. So each voter may only return one, may only vote once. So in this instance, and it has happened, we have heard of cases of it happening where someone voted early by mail, maybe forgot that they even did it, maybe moved to another town and thought then that maybe they could vote in that other town because the other one wouldn't count because they moved, which is not true. You may only vote once. So the control point at the clerk of voting once, if you showed up on Election Day and it showed that you'd already voted that mailed ballot, you would be denied the opportunity to vote. And if you swore that you have not voted already, you could fill out that affidavit. You would be allowed to vote, but it's going to be what's known as a provisional ballot. And then that would be reported to our office, and we would do an immediate investigation to see if that vote should be counted or if there was something illegal going on there.
That's good to know. Jana, we've gotten some emails about the fact that polls will be open or will polls be open on Election Day. It is very important for folks to know that while different towns open their polls at different times, there's not a uniform opening time. Everybody's got to stay open until 7 o'clock. And I'm wondering, is your organization fielding some calls about that as well of, since we're mailing in our ballots, that must mean that the polls are closed?
Yes, we have gotten questions about whether they can still vote in person. And we've actually also had questions about when the polls will be open that day. What I love about Vermonters is to keep us honest and make sure that our language is very clear. So yes, sign your certificate envelope that your ballot is in. And yes, your polls will be open sometime between 5 a.m. and 10 a.m., depending on your polling place, and be open until 7 p.m.
Chris, why doesn't Vermont have a uniform system of saying, okay, all polls open at 7 and they all close at 7 p.m.? Why is there this variation, as Jana just mentioned to us, of when polls can be allowed to open?
Well, Bob, I think because all of our towns and cities are different, and our town clerks are, for the most part, independently elected, and they have some independence there in deciding what's good for their voters as far as opening. They may have varying staffing capabilities, so some of the smaller shops, smaller towns may not have the ability to open for longer hours, or they may know that there are a lot of people in their town who like to vote really early. So it varies from town to town, but it's a really long day for town clerks and election workers, and they are working really hard on election day, opening up some as early as 6, some by 10 o'clock, but then everybody closes at 7 p.m. so that we can say, that's the end of it. Now it's time to start tallying results. And then they're in their offices, sometimes all the way up until midnight, to enter unofficial election results that come to us in real time and come out on our election night results page.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Cynthia, who is calling from Calais. Hi, Cynthia. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. I'm extremely concerned that elsewhere in the country, signatures are being used to verify ballots. I'm a lettering artist by profession, and a signature isn't what it used to be. And even when I went to the DMV in Vermont and signed my name for my license, anytime, I don't care how good the screen is, my signature is not what it is when I write on paper. So, and it's not a priority in schools, but that's a different topic. Even some people can't even read cursive handwriting. So I guess my question is, who in these other places who are checking signatures, is it somebody trained? And is it a very time-consuming process anymore to actually do that, in my opinion?
Chris, there was a great article in the New York Times on this very subject that Cynthia is talking about. I don't know if you saw it or not. It was probably about a week ago, and it had about 10 or 12 different signatures of the same person.
Hmm.
And two of them were correct. One was about 20 years ago, and one was recently. The other 10 were all forgeries that people at the Times had tried to make kind of look like the original ones. And then the reader was asked, okay, you pick the two that are correct. And it was a very difficult thing to do. So is this something that the legislature would look at in the event that they want to continue this voting system for the 2022 election?
Yeah, Bob, I think they would want to look at it very, very closely. Other states tout it as a security measure. And there is some merit to that. But as the caller points out, and as you point out in the Times article, it has its limitations. And if people are not handwriting experts, it can actually serve to disenfranchise voters if those ballots are rejected at the last minute and there's no opportunity to cure that. As I understand it, a lot of it is done by computer. So there's an initial matching that's done through artificial intelligence, and then the ones that are flagged are sent for review by actual human beings. But it's a difficult process. It takes an expert eye, and so we'd want to look very carefully at that before implementing it.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Janelle, who is calling from Burlington. Hi, Janelle. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Hey, great to have you on the air.
Hey, thank you. My question was, we are renting an apartment in Burlington, and our lease is terminating at the end of October. So we're in process right now of moving to a new town about an hour away. We've already received our ballots in the mail. But I guess my question is, would we be voting at the new polling place in our new town and dropping off our ballot with that town clerk, or at our previous polling place in the town that we just are leaving in Burlington?
Chris, what do you think?
If you're going to be moved into a new residence by November 3rd, then you would vote at the new in the new town at the new polling place, and you'd want to inform, you'd want to get registered with that new town clerk, and you can do that anytime after you move, and you can also do that right up to and on Election Day. Vermont, luckily, has Election Day registration, so you can even register at the polling place and vote that day. What you just want to make sure of is that you're registered in your new town, and then your new town clerk will notify through our system your former town, so you're removed from that checklist.
Jonna, Chris just mentioned something that I think probably bears repeating, and that is Vermont is one of the states that does have same-day voter registration, and that's important for folks to know.
It really is, and it's a wonderful thing because we have, you hear in other states about concerns about their voter purges, where voters are removed from the voting checklist in other states by in error or just removed. So, and then those citizens are not able to vote. Here in Vermont, we have a great responsible voter purge process where if you voted in the last two elections, you will remain on the checklist. But if there was a problem when you arrived to vote, you can re-register to vote that day. And that's what happened the first time I came. I thought I had registered to vote. And when I arrived at my polls when I first moved to Vermont 8 years ago, they couldn't find me. And so I was able to register on the spot and still participate in the election.
That's an interesting story and a very important fact for folks to know as they go to vote on Election Day. We did get this tweet from Liz that said, just wanted to mention, try not to spill coffee on your ballot, though your town clerk can make that work, and don't overvote. Your votes in that race won't be counted. Chris, overvoting is, I voted for two people in the same race, or, you know, it's perhaps it's a state Senate race in Vermont where there are three senators in the district, but I ended up voting for four. Is that what happens, that the my votes in that race are not counted?
That's correct. When you look at your ballot, Bob, under each race, it'll say right at the top, vote for not more than one, or vote for not more than two or three, depending on how many seats you're voting for in that particular race. So if you overvote that race, your votes in that race will not count, but the rest of your votes will. And if I could go back just for a second, Bob, to the previous caller who was moving at the end of the month, just before Election Day, one important thing that I forgot to mention is that she should return the mail ballots that she received to her town clerk. So send those back. Each town has a different ballot, so you're going to want to send the ones from your old town back and get a new one in the new town where you register.
And Chris, I want to make sure that I'm right about this. We've been talking just right now about don't overvote, because that will disqualify your votes in that race. But you can undervote. So if it says vote for no more than three and you want to vote for one, that's okay.
Undervoting is perfectly fine.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Elizabeth in Norwich. Hi, Elizabeth. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you. My question is, if you received a ballot in the mail, excuse me, and maybe it was laying around on your counter for quite a while, and when you opened it, the envelopes that you're supposed to put your ballot in already were sort of self-sealed, so that you maybe had to use a knife or a scissor to open them and then insert your ballot and then use tape to seal it up. Would that present any problem when resubmitting it to the town clerk? Just asking for a friend.
That should be fine. You can tape it shut. If you're overly concerned, again, you just want to make sure, take it down to your town clerk and hand deliver it to your town clerk.
Let's talk to Brenda, who's calling from Montpelier. Hi, Brenda. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. Thank you. Nice to hear your voice. Thanks for taking my call. So I sent in my ballot, mailed it in, and checked online with the Vermont Election Commission website and saw that my ballot was received, but it was defective. So I went to Montpelier to the town hall and spoke to lovely Crystal there. And she found my ballot and told me that I never put the ballot inside the envelope and sealed it. So she gave me some tape and I sealed it up right there. But I feel it's very important for people to know to do that step. And also my question was, if I didn't seal it, if people don't seal that envelope, will it still be counted?
Chris, I'm going to ask you the first of the two questions, and that is, as Brenda was mentioning, a lot of people who have mailed in their ballots would like to be reassured that their ballot has been received and is all set to be tabulated. You mentioned a website earlier in the program, and what we'll do, if you could repeat it for us, that would be great. And we will also post it at our website at vpr.org. So if you're listening and you'd like to get that website and participate and see if your ballot has been counted, or not counted, but has been received, then you'll be able to do that. Chris, what should folks do?
Well, they should go to mvp.vermont.gov. That's where you'll find your very own voter page. It'll have a sample ballot on there for you, which is not so interesting to people this year because they got an actual ballot in the mail. It'll have your polling place, your voter information, and this very important tracking tool that will tell you when your ballot was mailed to you and if you sent it back, when it was received by the town clerk. It may also show that status of defective if something was wrong with it, like not signing the certificate envelope. I will point out that the ballot envelope does not have to be sealed. That also answers the previous caller's question about taping it up. It does not have to be sealed for it to count. It will not be marked defective if it's not sealed.
Good information to know. Let's talk to Ellen, who's calling from Enosburg. Hey, Ellen, what's on your mind today?
I just wanted to mention, with the talk about polling place hours, I don't think I've ever heard of this in Vermont, but if you're in line at 7, you get to vote, right?
Yes. Jana, do you know if that's correct?
That's correct.
So if I remember, Chris, back in the 2008 election in Montpelier, where there was just huge voter turnout for the first administration of Barack Obama, the line came out of City Hall in Montpelier and went around City Hall and down the street. And I think what they did was at 7 o'clock, somebody from the Montpelier office got in line and said, okay, if you're in line before me, then you were definitely here before 7 o'clock and you're okay. But if you're here after that, then you're really coming after 7. And so you won't be able to vote. Do I have that straight?
You have that right, Bob. And clerks may use some creative methods to mark that last person in line at 7 p.m. But as long as you're in line, by the time the polls close, you will be allowed to vote.
Let's talk to Gerald, who's calling from Burlington. Hi, Gerald. Welcome to the program.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I think part of the question was answered of where to go, and you just said that, mvp.vermont.gov, and I just went on the site, and I see that my ballot was received. So if it had been rejected, it would be noted as rejected there, where it says ballot status.
Chris, do you know, is that how we found out from a previous caller that the ballot had been received but was considered to be defective?
Yes, but I'll say this, Bob, that it really depends on the clerk's ability to keep up with what's coming through the door right now. They are getting slammed with absentee ballots, as you might imagine. So every day they're working hard to enter all of those marked as received. They might mark it as received and then later update with a defective status as they start to process ballots. And this is a good place to note that in Vermont, Secretary Condos, under his directive, allowed the clerks to start processing ballots 30 days before the election. This is unusual. Normally, we wouldn't allow for that. So starting in early October, the clerks were able to start opening these envelopes, taking the certificate envelope out. That's where they would, you know, see if the certificate envelope has been signed. Separate the ballot from the certificate envelope in teams of two. So two election officials are doing this. One is opening, checking them off the checklist, sliding that ballot over to the other, who flattens it out and gets it ready for processing. Not counting, there's no totals. They may put it through the tabulator, which will only show one ballot received, but not tally anything up. Or they may put it in safe storage for processing on election day, especially in those towns where it's a hand count town and there is no tabulator involved. So the answer to the caller's question is, it's not, because it's been received does not necessarily mean that it's not defective yet. It's up to the town clerk to enter that information, and they are working just as hard as they can to keep up. If you're really concerned about it, then give your town clerk a call and check in and make sure everything was okay.
Let's see if we can get a few more calls in before the end of the program and start with Missy in Stowe. Hi, Missy. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks. I just had a question about what it means for a ballot to be challenged. I hadn't received my ballot and then called my town clerk, and she told me it was challenged, but we got it straightened out. So I'm wondering if someone knows what that means exactly.
So you were told, Missy, that your ballot was challenged. Did they give you a reason why it was challenged?
No, they didn't.
It just fell into the challenged category. Chris, what is that all about?
So, you know, I'm not exactly sure, Bob. We hear of challenged voters, which is the Board of Civil Authority and the town clerk think that maybe this person is not a resident of the town anymore. Maybe when they haven't voted for a while, or they hear from someone that perhaps the person moved away, they can send them a challenge letter and give them an opportunity to say, hey, wait, no, I'm still here. I'm still a voter. I want to stay on the list. But as a challenged voter, if you don't respond to that, you can eventually be taken, after a couple of elections, you can be taken off the voter checklist. And again, taking people off the voter checklist is a very careful and deliberate process by design, because it's your right to vote. And just because you don't vote for a while doesn't mean you should be taken off the checklist.
Chris, we're almost out of time, but we've gotten a couple of calls and emails about intimidation of voters. And we've heard President Trump talk about getting his supporters out and asking his supporters to keep an eye on what's happening so no fraud takes place. What are the rules governing voter intimidation in Vermont, and whether or not how close to the polling place supporters of a particular candidate can go?
That's a good question, Bob, and I'm glad you brought it up, because there's been a lot of talk and concern nationally about harassment and intimidation at the polls. We expect that Vermonters across the state will be conducting the polling process civilly. That's our Vermont tradition, the Vermont way. We do want to be clear, though, any harassment or intimidation of voters at the polls is a crime and is not going to be tolerated. Secretary Condos and Attorney General Donovan issued a statement saying as much, and that included guidance around what is or is not acceptable behavior at the polling place. There is a perimeter around ingress and egress, as the statute puts it, kind of a safe zone, a neutral zone, where anyone who supports a candidate or is supporting an issue, is protesting, or whatever else might be happening, where they cannot block the entrance or exit from a polling place. And the town clerk is in charge of that. And if that cannot be resolved by the town clerk, we've been working with our law enforcement partners to be prepared in the eventuality that a town clerk needs a little help from law enforcement to make sure we keep that polling place the neutral zone that it is supposed to be.
And Chris, am I correct that when people go to vote on election day, if they choose to go to their town clerks and town offices and vote in person, they can't be wearing campaign paraphernalia? You can't have a hat saying vote for this person, or a T-shirt or something like that. Do I have that straight?
That is correct. No campaign materials inside that sacred neutral zone, as I was talking about before. if you do show up at the polling place with something that is representing a candidate or an issue, the clerk will likely ask you to cover it up, take it off if that's possible, turn it inside out, whatever it might be, in order to be able to vote.
Well, this has been a great look at Vermont's new voting process. Please remember that if you want to mail in your ballot this year, the Secretary of State's office is encouraging you to do this by Saturday to ensure that your ballot is counted. Many thanks to our guest today, Jonna Ferguson from the Vermont League of Women Voters, and also Deputy Secretary of State Chris Winters. Thank you both very much for taking the time to answer our questions today.
Thank you, Bob. This was fun.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it.